shady green pasture, so rich and so sweet. God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cold flow, bathes the weary one's feet. God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. In the night season and all the day long.
Thank you, Brother Raley. Wonderful song. Great truth to that song. Hope you listened. Make that application in your life. Well, on Wednesday nights, we have been studying for really since the beginning of the year, I guess, or close to it, the subject of the Savior and His sheep. We've come to the final message of this series, and you'll understand why it's the final one when we read the Scriptures. Out of all the things that we've learned on Wednesday nights about the Lord and why we're called sheep and why He refers to us sheep, don't have time to go through all the process of what we've learned for literally weeks and weeks now. But it's all for a reason. There's a purpose. There is a method to the Lord's madness. There is a method to why He did what He did and why He does in our lives what He does. I want you to take your Bible tonight for the final message in Matthew chapter 10 and Luke chapter 10. These are sister passages. Matthew chapter 10 and Luke chapter number 10. If I had a title for the message tonight, I would entitle it, I Send You Forth as Sheep Among Wolves. Are you there in Matthew chapter 10? Stand with me if you would please. Verse number 16, for sake of time, we're just going to read one verse. We're going to come back to Matthew 10 and do a little bit of study of several other verses here in just a moment. But I just want to read the one verse for the message tonight and the text verse. Behold, Jesus says in verse 16, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, while you're turning to Luke chapter 10, let me say something here. It seems that what the Lord is doing is sending these sheep to their death. That's what it seems like, right? I said, that's what it seems like, doesn't it? Y'all do know the difference between sheep and wolves, don't you? Sheep eat wolves. Okay, they also eat little pigs. Okay, y'all, we got a long way to go tonight. When's the last time y'all never read the story of the three little pigs? Let me tell it to you right quick. Just kidding. How about Little Red Riding Hood? Y'all know wolves eat Little Red Riding Hoods too? They also eat sheep. Okay? So it seems like that what Jesus is doing here is sending the sheep to a certain death. To sending them out among wolves. But he gave some instructions that we'll look at in just a moment. But Luke chapter 10, verse number 1, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, listen carefully now, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, he's going somewhere with this because the very next verse, look what he says. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Now, what he did is he predicated what he was about to do when he sent the sheep out. He says, the fields are wide into harvest, but the laborers are, okay? So what he's saying is, I've got to get the sheep out of the barn and into the fields, right? I've got to shoo them out. The thing about it is, if you've ever tried to shoo sheep or cattle, isn't it amazing how you shoo them out of the pen and some of them want to try to get back in? You have to stand at the entrance to try to keep them from getting back in. You see, one of the jobs of the preachers is try to shoo the sheep out. So why? Because we've got to get out into the harvest fields, folks. But you know what we find in the harvest fields? We find wolves out in the harvest fields. And yet Jesus said, I send you as sheep among wolves. You can't hardly get much contrary than wolves and sheep. And I want to speak to you on that subject. I send you as sheep among wolves. Father, would you bless now our time? We thank you for the privilege that we have to study the Bible. And we pray that you teach us now something, Lord, in this final message in this series of the Savior and his sheep. And we'll certainly give you the glory for what should be accomplished tonight. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. You can be seated. As I mentioned, that on the surface, it seems that Jesus now has trained his sheep. He has loved his sheep. He has groomed his sheep. Remember all the things that we've learned that he did? And he's gone through this extensive process to prepare these sheep. Now, remember, Jesus spent 3.5 years preparing 12 disciples. Because one day we learned Sunday night that he was going to hop a taxi cloud and go back to the right hand of the Father. Is that what he did? And the thing about it is, you know what he did? He left the sheep. Right? He left them. But wait a minute now, he had spent 3.5 years preparing them. So in our studies, the whole process now is coming to an end. And there was a reason for our learning about the sheep. The shepherd has been preparing the sheep. Because the shepherd is not always going to be around. And we have to fulfill what our calling is. So it seems now that all of these things that we've learned and all the preparation that Jesus has now done to prepare the sheep, and then he says, I'm going to send you out as sheep among wolves. Can you imagine the sheep standing at the gate and they're looking out in the field and there's a pack of wolves out there and he says, okay, in just a minute, I'm going to open the gate and you're all going out. Can you imagine the sheep thinking to one another? Did he say we're going out? Yes, we're going out. But there's wolves out there. Yeah, that's exactly right. Have you been out into society lately? Can I tell you what's out there? A bunch of wolves. Yeah, they're there. You see, I'm just saying to you tonight, church, that wolves and sheep usually don't mix very well socially. You've seen the National Geographic specials, haven't you? Yeah. Come on now, some of you guys were like me when you were a kid. You couldn't wait till the National Geographic specials on it because you wanted to see that lion run that gazelle down, didn't you? You wanted to see all that kind of stuff. Well, let me say that wolves and sheep don't naturally mix. And yet Jesus said, now get on out there among the wolves. He didn't say, I'm going to send you as sheep among sheep. He said, I'm sending you as sheep among wolves. And church members, listen to me. Can I say something to you, sheep? When you walk out that back door tonight, you're going among wolves. When you walk out that back door, you got to understand there is a degree of risk and danger that presents itself every time you leave this building. See, the thing about it is we come in here, it's easy to say, amen, right? It's easy to talk Christianity in here, isn't it? It's easy to shake hands and talk about the Lord and even name Jesus and use all of this religious jargon that we use. But isn't it amazing how we use less and less when we walk outside the pasture? When the gates are open and the Savior says, all right, out. It's time to get out into the pastures. And all of a sudden the sheep go. We open our mouth, but nothing comes out. Right? Now, why is that so? Why does that happen? Because sheep are naturally afraid of wolves. And by the way, if we talk too loud, the wolves will find us, right? But isn't that what Jesus wants? He wants them to find you. You see, the thing about it is the sheep aren't standing at the gate hollering at the wolves, hey guys, y'all come on in here. No, you're going to have to go out and find them. You're going to have to go out and make yourself available. You see, wolves, church, represent the wild side, the vicious side of the animal kingdom, the untamed, the unrestrained side. But the sheep represent the domestic side of the animal kingdom, the peaceful side of the animal kingdom, the restrained, the submissive. So if you were out in a field, could you tell the difference between a sheep and a wolf? Yeah, you could, unless you've been watching too many cartoons. You can tell the difference. Why? Because they're totally opposite in nature. They're contrary one to the other. You see, the two animals are contrary in almost every single way. First of all, I just mentioned to you, their inward nature's different. You know what sheep want to eat? Sheep want to eat nice grain and green grass. They want to lay down and rest in the cool of the day. Wolves don't want to do that. Wolves want to chase rabbits or chase deer or chase something. Why? Because that's their nature. They want to eat things. They want to kill things. Sheep aren't looking to kill things and eat other animals. They're totally contrary in nature. May I say to you next, their goals and desires are different. Hey, wolves like to run. They like to stay up all night. They like to run at night. They like to howl at the moon. Some of you have been howling at the moon lately. But they like, listen, I've never understood why. What are they howling at? Hey, there's this big old circle and whoo. Shows you how much sense they got. Now, what I'm saying is the goals of sheep, the desires of sheep and wolves, totally different. Totally different. Can I say this? Their dwelling place is different. Yeah, sheep live in green pastures. Sheep stay in fenced areas. Wolves do not stay in fenced areas. Wolves live in dens. Wolves live like wolves. Why? Because that's their nature. That's what their dwelling place is. Listen, their appetites are totally different. Wolves like meat. Sheep like grass. They like grain. And can I say this to you also? Their associations are totally different. You know who wolves like to be with? Wolves. You know who sheep should like to be with? Sheep. That's what they ought to be. But the thing about it is Jesus. Now listen, now Jesus is shooing us out into the pastures or out into the, or outside the pastures, outside the gates. He says, now there's wolves out there. Now y'all go out. Come on. I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Now folks, listen to me. If you're new to Christianity, this is making no sense to you, is it? He said, what is he doing? These poor baby sheep. He's loved them and trained them and he's fed them with a milk bottle and he's petted them and he even gave them names. And now he's going to open the door and shoo them out among wolves. You see, just about every aspect between a wolf and a sheep is totally contrary one to another. About the only thing they have in common is they're both animals. Now let me make an application here. The believer and the unbeliever are contrary one to another, just as a sheep and a wolf are. Totally contrary one to another. May I remind you, their natures are different. Their goals are different. Their desires are different. Their dwelling places are different. Their appetites are different. Their associations are different. There is nothing in common between a believer and an unbeliever other than they've got a body and a soul. That's about the only thing that they have in common. The difference between the two is one's been born again, the other has not. One should act like a sheep, because I promise you, the wolf will act like a wolf. Okay, he's not intending to act like a sheep. The only thing that a believer and an unbeliever have in common is that one aspect. Their natures are totally different from one another. And yet sheep and wolves, in order for them to exist together, listen now, it would take divine intervention for that to happen. You say, preacher, could a wolf look and befriend a sheep and want to be the sheep's friend? I guess. But eventually, can I say to you, the wolf's going to come out at some point, and then he's going to look at the sheep. He's going to say, man, you know what? There's some huge lamb chops on this dude. And listen to me, the wolf will eventually come out. And the wolf will eventually eat the sheep. Now, is the sheep going to eat the wolf? I doubt it. But the wolf will eat the sheep. Now, folks, you say, where are you going with this, preacher? Listen to me, sheep. What I'm trying to say is, if you think you're going to be a friend of the world, the Bible says you're the enemy of God. Because what you're doing is you're committing spiritual suicide. It's what you're doing. You're going out among the wolves, and God, listen, Jesus isn't sending them out there to befriend the wolves. You know what He's sending them out there to do? He's sending them out there to convert the wolves. That's what He's sending them out there for. For conversions to take place. You see, this is exactly what the wolves want to do. The wolves want to be friends. They're not, most of them aren't interested in becoming like you. What they want to do is they just want to get in and do some things and reap some of the benefits of what you are. Hey, listen, you don't think a wolf would want to be hand fed? You don't think a wolf would, where it would be easy for him to eat and somebody supplied the food for him? You realize that sheep haven't supplied, the wolf has to go find it. Hey, you know what he'd love? He'd love for that type of thing to happen. But let me tell you something. The wolf and the sheep are totally contrary. But let me say this, church. The same divine grace is necessary today to keep the lost and vicious wolves of this world from destroying the sheep and the church. Because that's exactly what the wolf wants. He wants to destroy. He wants to do these things. And by the way, sometimes they even disguise themselves. Matter of fact, Jesus even said sometimes the wolf will pretend to be a sheep. Now, wait a minute. Does God know who the wolves are? Yeah. Well, then why can't we? If we have some spiritual discernment, shouldn't we know who they are? Yeah. You say, oh, I just can't tell the difference. Well, now here's a simple formula. And Jesus taught us, very simple. By their fruits, ye shall know them. So if it looks like a wolf and it howls at the moon like a wolf, but you say it kind of smells like a sheep. It's probably a wolf, folks. Jesus warned that some are pretenders. And some will disguise themselves as sheep in order to try to get in and destroy the sheep. Listen now. And burn the pastures. They want to take the Bible out of your hand. They want to burn the pastures. They don't enjoy what we enjoy, according to Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Because they understand that if the shelter and the food source is cut off, then it's just a matter of time the sheep die. Okay, that's what the wolves are after. Listen to Psalm 11, verse 3. The scripture says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the answer to that is, not a whole lot. So, you know what we have to do, church? We have to understand that Jesus is not sending the sheep to certain death. He's sending the sheep as a representative of the Savior. And by the way, did not John the Baptist look at Jesus, as we've learned in our studies? And he looked at him, he says, behold the Lamb of God. The Lord's looking for a representative. He's looking for ambassadors out in the world. Now let me give you some sheep facts, all right? First of all, let me ask you a couple of questions. First of all, do sheep want to go out among wolves? Come on, help me out. Do you, anybody here know a sheep, if he's looking through the gate, And the shepherd opens the gate, and there's a pack of wolves. He says, come on, hey, come on. The sheep's going. And the shepherd's behind him with a foot out. And he pushes him out and shuts the gate. You think, that's a mean shepherd. Well, you know what? That's what has to happen. The Lord has to do that to some of us. Because you know what we want to do? We want to stay in the barn. But we've got to be out among the wolves. Sometimes, listen, the fact is, most sheep don't want to go out among the wolves. Let me ask you another question. Are sheep equipped of themselves to survive among wolves? Are they equipped to survive among wolves themselves? Then let me ask this. Why did Jesus spend 3.5 years preparing the sheep then? Why did he spend his ministry doing what he did, teaching them what he taught, and by the way, even sometimes looking at them and says, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you and sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Why did Jesus get rough with them sometimes? Why would he teach them all the things that he did? Why? Because one day, folks, remember, he's going bye-bye. He's going home and they're going to be left among wolves. He understood that day was coming. You see, this is a major obstacle because unfortunately too many of the sheep, we depend on ourselves for survival. And that's the reason most sheep don't make it among wolves because we depend too much on ourselves. Philippians 4:13, we quoted 1,000 times, haven't we? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's a great quote. But do you believe that? Well, let me ask you this. If you're a sheep, you better believe it, or you're not going to survive among the wolves. Because you do not have the ability inward to survive among the wolves. And by the way, when you get out there, the only reason the wolves don't consume you is because of the grace of God. That's why. Because if, listen, in all practicality, if a sheep goes out in a pack of wolves, he toast, right? Or lamb chops. He's grilled chops. Yeah. See, I mean, it looks like imminent death for the sheep, right? If it was dependent upon him to survive. So we say we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And yet, Luke 18, verse 27, listen to what the Lord says. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Now, it doesn't seem possible that sheep could survive among the wolves, right? It just doesn't seem possible. Unless God's involved. So that's the reason, folks. You know what we spend, what the Lord spends, what He does in our lives when we meet together on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? You know what He's trying to do? He's trying to prepare the sheep because we're only here for about an hour. In a moment, the doors are going to open, the gates are going to open up, and the Lord says, okay, out, 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 up in. And some of us, we get out there, we're looking around. A lot of wolves out here. It's the reason you better learn to live by faith and not by sight. What will keep the wolves from destroying the sheep? We just learned that, right? The grace of God. Well, then let me ask you this. What is the reason, then, that Jesus sends the sheep forward? Are you still there in Luke 10? Look at this. Why did he send the sheep out? What was the purpose? Verse 2, Luke 10. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. So pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into the field. There it is. There's the purpose of why he's sending the sheep among wolves. Oh, by the way, just because the sheep are sent doesn't mean they're all going to go. Yeah. Because some of them want to stay in the barn. Some of them want to stay in the pen. You know why? It's pretty safe inside the pen, right? The wolf can come right up to the pen. He can growl. He can scratch. And the sheep's back there. Because he knows there's no way he's getting in. And we can stick our tongue out. He can make all kind of wolf jokes. He can do it because he knows the wolf can't get in. But listen, there's coming a day. There's coming a day where the door will be open. And we must go out. You see, the sheep sense the wolves have an anti-sheep sentiment. And they do. Hey, folks, did you know the world is anti-Bible? anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-life, anti-everything that we believe. You know how I know that? Look around. Where is everybody? Huh? Where is everybody? If they were pro-God, pro-Bible, and pro-church, they'd be here, right? Yeah. So you said, where's the rest of the folks? They're hiding out in the barn somewhere. They're going to have to come out soon. Yeah, eventually God's going to herd us out because we have a job. Listen, the fields are white unto harvest. Take your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 10. Let's look at a couple of things. We've got about 10 minutes left here. Let's take a look at a few things. If we could turn to Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. Let me give you some signs quickly of submissive sheep. Okay, turn if you would to Matthew 10 and verse number 39. First of all, submissive sheep count the cause of Christ greater than their own life. Matthew 10, verse 39. You'll recognize it when you get there. He that findeth his life shall what? I started to say class. Shall what, folks? Okay? That means if he is trying to preserve his life, then he's going to lose it. Now look what he says now. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Because sheep have a sheep nature, right? So when he sends them out among wolves, they need to go out with the same spiritual nature that Jesus presented in ministry. So he sends them out. So they cause, or they count the cause of Christ greater than their life. Here's the second thing that we need to look at. Go up to verse number 38. He counts the value of lost souls worthy of the challenge. Look at verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Because why is Jesus sending them out according to Luke chapter 2? Because the fields are white into harvest. And he's got to send laborers out into the fields. And yes, according to verse 34, same chapter, they're going to face the sword. Yes, according to verse number 36, they're going to face foes. They're going to face opposition. Matter of fact, look at verse 36. It says that a man's foe shall be they of his own household. Sometimes family members are going to be in opposition of you going, oh, no, you can't go out among the sheep. You can't go out among the wolves. What's wrong with you, man? Have you lost your mind? Because wolves eat sheep. Yes, you're right. You're right. But the preacher said we ought to be out soul winning on Thursdays or Saturdays and telling people about Christ. You can't go out there. Wolves eat sheep. Well, yeah, you're right. They do eat them. I think I'll just stay in the barn tonight. The problem is once we get comfy in the barn, we want to stay there all the time. Here's the third thing. Go to verse 19, same chapter. Submissive sheep count the promises of God more faithful than the threats of men. Look in Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak. Stop. Wait a minute. It's not ye that what? All right, so we learned earlier that sheep do not have the ability to survive among wolves on their own, right? So where are they getting this power from? How were they getting this grace to survive? Here it is. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. 1 John 4:4, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you believe that? If you believe that, you know what? When the sheep go out, we'll go out with boldness. Now, let's look at some instructions real quick. If you're there in Luke 10, turn there to Luke 10 real quick. That Jesus gave the sheep. Now listen, he didn't send them out ignorantly. He sent them out among wolves and gave them some instructions. The first thing that he did, once he made the point that the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few, look at verse 2, Luke 10:2. The next thing he tells them to do is, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his field. So sheep, what we need to do, let's not complain about the other sheep that do not want to go out into the among wolves that want to stay in the barn. Instead of griping, how about praying? That's what it told us to do. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the field. So we need to pray that more sheep leave the barn. More sheep will get out. Look at verse, go back to Matthew 10, verse number 7. Well, preacher, what do we do once we get out among wolves? Well, what did the Lord tell us to do? Matthew 10, verse number 7, as you go, preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the sheep are not going out promoting the barn. Amen. Now the thing about it is, we want to get them in, right? But they don't go out promoting the barn. The message sheep is not the church. The message is Jesus. But until they get the message and receive Jesus, they're not going to want to come into the barn. And so he says, go out, preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So they were to preach the kingdom of heaven. Stick to the message. Look at verse 27, same chapter. He says, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Let's go home and get on top of the house tonight and start screaming. See if we won't get some attention. So I know where I'm going to get in my neighborhood. The police attention. That's where we're going to get in our neighborhood. But preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. All right, look at verse 16. Our text verse. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents. So what is he talking about here? Well, we know according to Proverbs 4, verse number 7, that wisdom is the principal thing. It's the thing that ought to govern everything that we do. Here's what the Lord is saying. When you go out among wolves, you know what sheep do? If they know they're there, they're going to be pretty smart, right? They're not looking for a confrontation. They're looking to avoid confrontation, right? So when they get out there, folks, and we've got the Word, we've got the Gospel, we're not looking for a confrontation to argue and fight with someone. What we're trying to do is we're trying to get the message of conversion to them. So when he says, be wise as servant, be discreet, be cautious. Know what to do and when to do it. Look what else he says. And be harmless as doves, peaceful, non-aggressive. Listen now, when it comes to opposition, I've never seen a sheep stand on one side of the pasture and challenge a wolf on the other side of the pasture. Said, I'm going to meet you and we're going to tangle in the middle of the field. Can I tell you something to you, sheep? You're not going to win that. Okay? You're not going to win that battle. If you want to tangle with the wolves, you're not going to win that. You're not there to tangle with them. You're there to win them. You're there to give them the message. Now, he said, be harmless as doves. We don't have time to turn back there, but Jesus told them when they went out in the city, and if they rejected the message, what did he tell them to do with the dust on their shoes? He didn't tell them to go and bang their door and bust their windows out and cut their tires, did he? No, he says, you take the dust of your sandals and you dust your feet as a testimony against them. Oh, then he went on to say that he would be more tolerable. He would be more tolerable to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, you're talking about blowing you away. Sodom and Gomorrah was terrible. Well, how much more awful are these people? How awful are they when they had the truth and they spit in their face and they rejected it? So he says, be harmless as doves. Look down at verse number 19. We read it just a moment ago. Or look at verse 20. He says, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. So he told them, here's your instruction, sheep. Be submissive to the Holy Spirit. Don't be concerned about what's going to happen. You just go out there and let God speak through you. You are His testimony. You are His mouth. And then look down at verse 24, Matthew 10. Verse 24. He says, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as the master. And the servant is Lord, if they have called the master of the house, Jesus speaking of himself, of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? You know what a submissive sheep does? They have to understand who they are and what they are. You're not above the master. You know what they did to Jesus? Crucified him. He said, so when you get out there, you're going to face opposition. Hey, sheep, wake up. I got some news for you. When you go out among wolves, there is a risk. And there is a threat. There is a degree of fear. And you say, but I want to stay in the barn. Because if I stay in the barn, then there's no challenges or chances and I can stay comfy. Yeah, that would be true. But the Savior didn't say stay in the barn. He said, I've prepared you and now I'm sending you among wolves. And then look at verse number 26. This is what he says. He said, fear them not. Look down at verse number 28. Fear not them. Look down at verse number 31. Fear ye not. Wait a minute. The only way that I'm going to fear when I go out among wolves, if I'm trying to live by sight and rather than by faith, I'm going to be scared to death. And you know what keeps people from being a soul winner? Fear. Fear of what? Because they're not living by faith. Do you believe people can be saved? Do you believe, listen now, let me say this. Do you believe a wolf can become a sheep? Is that possible, humanly speaking? No. But is it possible, spiritually speaking? Yes, it sure is. So here's the results and I'm done. Okay? Why then is Jesus sending the sheep among the wolves? Well, first of all, the sheep then can see the clear difference between who the sheep are and who the wolves are. He sends them forth so the sheep can see who the sheep are, who the wolves are, and they observe firsthand at how the wolves live. Let me tell you something, Christian. If you go out into the world and you see how the world lives and you want to be a part of that, something wrong with you. I see it all the time. You know what? I don't want any part of it. Don't want any part of it. Because I've never seen a wolf that's real happy. You know what they're always wanting to do? They're always wanting to kill again. They're always wanting to eat something. They're always doing this. They're always, listen, and sometimes they'll even attack each other. You see, what I'm saying to you is Jesus sends us out there so that the sheep can see the clear difference between the sheep and the wolves. The second thing is this, to transform some wolves into sheep. Now, how many people do you think, if they would have landed on the shore of Gadara, would have given the maniac any chance of becoming a sheep? Most of us wouldn't, right? Most of us say, that guy's full of the devil! He's a wolf! But wait a minute now, Jesus saw the potential of what he could be, not what he was. Jesus knew he was a wolf, but he saw that he could become a sheep. And so he cast the devil out of it, and guess what? Now he's sitting clothed in his right mind. You know what happened? It's called a metamorphosis happened. A spiritual metamorphosis happened, the same that happens in the spring when the caterpillar all of a sudden thinks, man, something's feeling different. I think I'll cocoon up. And so he goes and spins a cocoon, and he spends all spring in a state of metamorphosis. Now, how can a caterpillar become a butterfly? Could he do it on his own? No. There had to be some divine intervention, right? If a wolf's going to become a sheep, he's going to have to be some divine intervention. Nobody would give the maniac a chance of becoming a child of God. How many people would have given Zacchaeus a chance? Not many. He's a stinking thief. Plus, he worked for the IRS. Anybody giving Nicodemus a chance? How about Saul of Tarsus? Anybody give him a chance? He didn't even give himself a chance. But God gave him one last chance, didn't he? And listen, he was king of wolves. He even called himself, I am the Pharisee of the Pharisees. Nobody would give him much of a chance. And then here's the last thing, church, and that's this. The reason Jesus sends the sheep out, not only so the sheep can see the clear difference, but so that we can transform some wolves into sheep by the grace of God. But the third thing is, so the sheep will trust the shepherd. The shepherd's not going to send the sheep out to certain death. He's sending them out for a purpose. He's sending them out for a reason. Hey, listen, you don't get a greater illustration than the Apostle Paul. Remember in Acts 27 and verse 25, when the ship that Paul was on was going down, he said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. We don't have time to go there, but you can go read Paul's resume in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 about the times that he was beaten with rods, stoned, in prison, nights and days he spent in the deep. He had his share of encounters with wolves. So how did he live so long? How did God allow this man to probably be the greatest Christian outside of Jesus and John the Baptist? I'll tell you how. Because he understood that when you go out, if you go out under your own power, you're not going to make it. But Jesus, the Lord, spent 14 years preparing this man to send him out where, church? among wolves. Jesus spent 3.5 years preparing 12 men to send them out among wolves. And can I say to you, Trinity Baptist Church members, God is preparing us to send us out among wolves. Why? Because the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Hey, let's don't gripe about the folks that don't go. Let's pray for the barns to be empty. Because tonight, the Savior is sending us out as sheep among wolves. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one's looking around. I wonder how many tonight can say, "Preacher, I'm saved. No question about it. I've been born into the family of God." I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, "That's me. I'm a child of God. If I die tonight, going to heaven, no question about it." All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. I think pretty much every hand was raised. But maybe there was one or two that I missed. Nobody looking around. This is a very private moment, very sacred time. I wonder if there might be someone here tonight that would say, "Preacher, I can honestly raise my hand just a moment ago. If I died, I'm not sure that heaven's my home. Please pray for me. It's not that I want to die and go to hell, preacher. It's just that I have some doubt about it. I don't have that assurity in my soul that if I died, I'm going to heaven." Nobody's looking at me, and you'd at least let me pray for you. Would you slip your hand up so I can see who you are and I can pray for you? Anybody like that? Anybody? Just slip it up. Slip it up. Man, boy, mom, child, daughter, anybody? All right. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I've already saved, but I've never been baptized." Anybody like that? Say, "Pray for me. I've never been baptized after I got saved. Pray for me." Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. I'll pray for you. Anybody like that? Anybody? All right. One last thing. I wonder how many of God's people tonight would be honest. Just be honest. Say, "Preacher, I know that the Bible teaches that I'm part of the flock. I'm part of the flock of God. I'm part of the group of the sheep that God has prepared." Some of you have been saved for years. Some of you have been saved a long, long time. Some of you have been a member of this church for a long, long time. But how many tonight would be honest before God and say, "Preacher, I've kind of gotten a habit of staying in the barn and I haven't been out witnessing like I ought to. I haven't been out representing the Lord like I ought to. I know it's the right thing to do, but preacher, I've just, for whatever reason, I found a comfort zone and I've kind of been staying in the barn and I haven't been witnessing, passing tracts out, trying to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. Please pray for me. I know what I need to do. I need to get out of the barn. Pray, preacher, that God will use me and bless me and give me the strength so I'll come out and do what I know to do." I want you to slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I've been staying in the barn and I know I need to be out. I know I need to be out. People are dying and going to hell without Christ." You say, "Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me." All right? All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, while I'm praying, if you want to come, I'm going to ask the instruments to begin to play in just a moment. And as I pray, if you raised your hand as I'm praying for you, would you join me at the altar here and let's commit this back to the Lord and ask God, "Lord, help us and pull us out of the barn and out into the harvest fields." Now, Father, I pray for the people of God. I ask you, Lord, please, in this last message on our study of the Savior and His sheep, Lord, we spent weeks studying about what we are and how you've trained us and how you went about the various things to prepare us for one thing and one thing only, and that was you were going to send us out, according to the Scriptures, among wolves. Yes, the wolves are lost people. And yet, Lord, there are a lot of wolves out there that are trying to teach false doctrine and mess the people of God up as far as the doctrine, mess with our Bible, mess with our churches, mess with our homes, mess with our schools, mess with our system. And we understand that, Lord, that we live in a very vicious time. We live in a day, Lord, where the wolves are prowling everywhere. They're circling the churches. They're circling our businesses. They're circling our homes. They're wanting to devour our children. And I ask you, Lord God, please tonight, would you help us? If we don't go out, Lord God, and try to reach some of these folks and convert them to Jesus Christ, we're going to be consumed. We're going to be overrun. And I ask you, please, that tonight, that probably the 30 or 40 that raised their hand and said, "Preacher, I've been in the barn and I've gotten in the habit of staying in," whether it's fear or whatever the case may be, that, Lord, they raised their hand and they acknowledged the fact that they're in the barn and they need to get out. We need to get out among the people. Would you do something special for us tonight? Convict us, I pray, of our sins in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me? I'm going to ask that.